teachers, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God as perfect, full-grown men, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. What he's saying there is, we need to grow. Just to paraphrase that section. Have you ever heard the phrase, ever said the phrase, or maybe even had it said about us, you need to grow up? We've all heard that phrase before, probably have used it. You need to grow up. Was that a compliment? I don't know how that phrase can be used in a complimentary way. You probably have heard the phrase Peter Pan complex, where someone is less mature than their years. That's not a compliment. And here's Paul in the spiritual aspect telling the Ephesians the very same thing. We are to grow. And then back in verse 11 where we started, God made it possible for growth by the things that He gave the church. The prophets and the apostles, they are gone. But evangelists, shepherds, teachers, they're still around. God has still left everything possible for this growth to take place. Now, with that in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. And it sounds like Jesus is saying the exact opposite. Matthew chapter 18, in verse 1, at that same time came the disciples unto Jesus. And they said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you turn, except you convert, and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, hang on a second. Paul says we're supposed to grow. And Jesus says we're supposed to stay like little children. Which one is it? Do we grow or do we not grow? And the answer is yes. Are we to mature? Yes. Are we to stay in a childlike manner? Yes. The point he's making is, and this is not a contradiction, there is a maturity, a spiritual maturity that is to happen with every last one of us. The putting on and the putting off. There is a maturity that has to happen. And at the same time, there are childlike qualities that we are to retain. And if you remember, if you catch in verse 3, and if we've lost them, then we've got to turn back to them. Except you turn and become as little children. So there are traits we're supposed to keep. And if we've lost them, we've got to go back to it. The point is that's being made with these is, we can't lose what Jesus is commanding. And we can't keep what Paul was condemning. So what do? We've got to recognize the difference between childishness and a childlikeness. Paul was rebuking childishness. Jesus is praising childlikeness. They are not synonyms. They are not the same thing. Childish is like the Peter Pan complex and you need to grow up. That's a hard word to use and it'd be a compliment. Childlike, on the other hand, Jesus is praising it. As a matter of fact, He's not just praising it. He said it as a requirement to be in a faithful part of the kingdom. So we've got to know the difference. And we've got to recognize that there is a difference. And we've got to grow out of certain things while maintaining other things. So let's just look at some of the differences between these two. Because here's the interesting thing. Here the disciples are scheming around these selfish interests. And that's when Jesus makes this point. I want you to imitate this. They're worried about elevation. They're worried about positioning and greatness. And he says, here's what I want you to imitate. He's pointing to a model of these kingdom people.
So let's look at some things that are childlike, that he is praising, and that we ought to be busy adding. And that is, think of the unworldly nature of a child. They don't know the first thing about worldliness. Little children, their whole existence revolves around their little bitty bubble. If it doesn't happen in their sight, they don't know a thing in the world about it. How nice that would be if it could be said of us. How much would you like to not know about what goes on out there? Well, they don't know about it. There's an unworldliness about them. They are not controlled by greed. Sometimes me and you are. They are not controlled by covetousness. Sometimes me and you are. They're not controlled by money. Here, just because of the season that we're in, you've either experienced this or you're fixing to in a couple days. A two-year-old can open up a box of a $200 toy and they'd rather play with the box. And you've all seen it happen. Money doesn't matter when you're a child. And all of a sudden, we grow out of that and it seems like money is all that matters. Turn back to this childlike nature in verse 3. Let's become like little children and let's stop letting worldliness have its thumb over us. That's the points that we can take from this. What about the trusting nature of this child? How trusting is a little child? Did you catch in verse 2? He called a little child unto him and he set him in the midst of them. If that was an adult, a conversation may have just took place. Jesus may have called them. I love you. I appreciate the invitation. I'm going to answer it one day. I'll be there as quick as I can. But I got this to take care of. And I have this to take care of. And I got to... Let's just be specific. There are people in this room right now listening to my voice who have never answered Jesus' call. Oh, you got every intention of it. The child just came. The child responded. An example of trust. Again, we're talking about children here. Can you imagine a child up on an elevated place and they're a little bit scared? And here's these strangers. Jump to me, I'll catch you. And they just keep hanging on for dear life. And then daddy shows up. And they're willing to let go. They're willing to take that small flight, trusting that he'll catch them. That's what children have with those that they're closest to, those that they love. A trust that doesn't waver. As we grow a little bit, as we mature in certain realms, maybe we become a little bit of skeptical, and sometimes we just lose the character trait of just a ready belief of what he has told us to do. And we start trying to filter things through our prisms. And we know what it says, but we're going to look for something else. And we probably have all done that to some extent. And what he tells the disciples was, turn back. Become like children. Just trust what I tell you. Just do what I ask you. And don't worry about the stuff out there. Don't worry about the greatness. Trust me. There's a teachable aspect of children. As a matter of fact, it's basically the whole life of a child. I had read, this was long, several years ago, I was reading something about the verbal growth of a child. And it is mind-blowing how quickly that they begin to pick up language. And so whatever age they start talking, you know, they start kind of making sounds and syllables that sound like words, and but when they start learning, it's incredible that you can talk to an average four-year-old almost without exception like you're talking to a 40-year-old. Their verbal language has improved so much that you can have a dialogue with a little child, and once they get 4, 5, 6, they don't even have to ask you what a word means. Now, when they're younger, You have to teach them. Say this. This is that. But now imagine a 4 and a 5-year-old and you can have this 30-minute conversation about all manner of things, and almost never do they say, well, what does that word mean? It still happens, but not all that often. They are teachable. They are ready to learn. They are busting to learn. And as we get older, we get a little stubborn. I wonder if there's any in here. I've learned all I need about this. I've been coming to services since I was. I've heard this many sermons. I've heard enough. I've learned enough. I have studied enough. I have read enough. Turn and become like little children. There is still learning to do. They're unworldly. They're trusting. They're teachable. There's no hypocrisy within them. They're not a puppeteer trying to work the strings. If something's yucky, you know about it because they're going to tell you. No, I don't like that. And then we play games. We mature in certain realms, and now all of a sudden we're trying to angle things off. How's it going to best help us? If I do this, will I get that? Turn to Philippians chapter 2, the humility of a child. They'll come to you with something in their hands, and I can't. Can you fix this? Will you fix this? They'll admit their shortcomings. And that is not a character trait that we tend to have when we get older. So this world me and you live in, it doesn't see a lot of greatness in a humble spirit. Jesus does. The Lord does. Look at our example that He set for us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. Remember that. They just ask about greatness. How do I become great in your kingdom? Verse 7, He took upon Him the form of a servant. And He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, the death of a cross. As we get older, we won't admit some of our weaknesses. The admonition from the Lord was turn and become like these children. So here's all things we can all recognize, right? We can see these. We've seen them in our kids. We see them in other kids. And then things happen. Maybe they disappear a little bit. But this is probably not what you think about. If you had just been out and someone would just privately ask you, when you think about character traits of a child that are just beautiful, and what do you think about? These are real. And we all recognize it. But it's the innocence and the purity of a child that really strike us. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The most obvious of childlike qualities is just an innocence. They have no idea that evil exists outside of their little circle of life. They have no idea there are people out there that would hurt them, that would treat them badly. They don't know that. There's this innocence about them that we just love. And one of the works of a parent is to maintain that innocence as long as we can without teaching them to be naive. And that's what's so hard about it. But Jesus was talking to adults, using a child as an example. To adults, He said, turn and become like them. They are who He imitates. And innocence and purity is one of those. And so make sure we don't just think that that's not expected of us too. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And remember Timothy. We think of Timothy and we refer to him all the time as the young preacher. And we understand that he was. When you compare him to Paul. But don't think when you hear Timothy that Paul is writing to a 15-year-old here. In the first missionary journey, as Paul made his way through those churches in Galatia, Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and so on, that Timothy was a part of that first group. He was there. He was old enough to understand that. And when Paul came through on the second journey, Years later, Timothy had already improved to the much that they got Paul's attention. Hey, you need to take a look at him. And before you know it, Paul's taking him with him. That was on the second missionary journey. 1 Timothy is written some point after Paul's been imprisoned. Remember the house arrest of Acts chapter 28? This letter is after that. He's already released from that. There's almost no way Timothy's not in his early 30s. That's probably the minimum guess we can give it. So he's still a young preacher, but don't think of him as some kid. And yet here's what Paul tells him. In verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man. Do not be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Don't think of purity as just something that God wants to see in children. God wants to see that in us, a purity and an innocence. And as we get older, and as we become jaded, and as we become a little bit more calloused, maybe we lose that and we don't even really care that we've lost it. What was the admonition in Matthew 18? Turn and become this again. We won't turn to Philippians 4. Freddie mentioned that in his invitation Wednesday night. There are things that are pure and holy and just. That's what we are to think on. They are true. And they are real. And that's where we are to be. There are things we need to be ignorant of. And so if we've lost any of these things, the admonition was to turn. And if this was a Bible class, I'd say, no, can you think of another word we use instead of turn? How about repent? Is that not what repent means? It's an about face. It's a changing. It's a turning. Jesus, with a child, said, here is your example. Here is what you imitate. And here are some traits that make up childlikeness. And that's what we're to become. Now, when we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's talking about something completely different. See, God has equipped us with everything we need that we can become mature, full grown, perfect. And so there is this growth that's expected of us. There is Paul himself in Philippians, when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's a difference in childlikeness. Here's Paul as a full grown man, still trying to keep worldliness out of his life. Still trying to trust God even in the hard times. Still trying to remove all hypocrisy out of his life, etc. Full-grown man trying to have childlike attributes. And yet he says there are childish things that I can't go to bed with. There are childish things I got to get rid of. Well, let's talk about that for just a little bit. What's the opposite of childlikeness? What's these things that we can't maintaining our life? Here's some childish things that children have, but we can't let them. They're okay in a child for a while. But the statement, you need to grow up, has been said to me and you. The statement, you need to grow up, will be said by us at some point. There are things that we can't have as we move into adulthood. And think about the fickleness and the unstableness of a child. Remember Ephesians 4? We mature so that we are not tossed to and fro. There's a lot of to and fro in a child. They will almost, from the time they go to bed to the time they wake up, they will change what they like. Their favorite fruit, they don't even want to touch it anymore. Their favorite, that's not my favorite book anymore. That's not my favorite this anymore. That's not my favorite toy anymore. They can wake up in a different world every day. They go through phases. A dinosaur phase, an atmosphere phase, I don't know what the cartoons are anymore, but those that are parents know what they are. They like this cartoon for a while, but not anymore. That's okay when you're a child. That's a part of them figuring things out. That's okay. But as an adult, there's got to be some stability in our belief and in our conviction. And as an adult, there needs to be some unshakableness about us when it comes to spiritual truths. If religion is nothing but a phase to me and you, what in the world are we? If religion is just something that, to and fro, I'm here for a while and then and here, I'm here this one, and I, what are we? That's a childish character trait. And there's no stableness to it. And we're supposed to be mature. We got it. This can't be a part of our life. What about how easy it is to deceive a child? Ephesians 4, remember, we're taking all this back to Ephesians 4. He talked about the slight of men. He's talking about we've got to mature and become perfect because there are people that will trick us. There were people that will deceive us. A two-year-old, think of how easy it is to deceive them. If you phrase it right, a two-year-old will believe anything you tell them. You know that. If you phrase it right, a four-year-old will believe anything that you tell them. You know that. There's a lack of knowledge that they have. There's a lack of experience that they have. They are unaware of all of these things. And so as adults, we've got to learn to detect the craftiness. And we have here's what makes it so hard. The childish and the childlike. We've got to maintain some innocence and some purity while not being so naive that we're led astray by every form of doctrine. There's a lot of people teaching a lot of things this very day in buildings all over this city, all over the state, all over the country. And we have to be mature enough that we're not misled. And that doesn't happen if you have a childish mindset of gullibility. We've got to move beyond that. What about how irresponsible a child can be? Ephesians 4 says we're to become full grown. We're supposed to reach a stature of fullness. Children can be irresponsible. They can be called to do something. Go clean your room. And you look back in 5 minutes later and they're sitting in the middle of the mess reading a book. Or they just get sidetracked. They do it. We did it when we were children. Here's the question. Are we still like that? Are we still so irresponsible as adults that we're not trustworthy? We're so irresponsible that things that need to be done and we know they need to be done and but we just keep hanging around. We just keep putting it off. That's a very childish way to live as an adult. Kids can tire of a task. They don't feel maybe any obligations. And as adults, this room full of Christians, we have an obligation to God. Do we understand our responsibility there? We have an obligation to this church that we by choice have united ourselves with. Do we feel obligations to that? We have an obligation to our family in whatever role we are in. We have an obligation to fellow man. We have obligations coming out of our ears. Are we responsible toward them? Are we active toward them? Because children they don't always have that. And so if there's a fickleness and an instability about us, we need to grow up. If there is a sense of being naive, just a gullibility, we will just swallow down anything that somebody says about God's Word or about important truths. We need to grow up. If there's a sense of irresponsibility with us, that we just kind of, everything just rolls off the back, we need to grow up. And that's not a contradiction at all with what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. So are we childlike or are we childish? Are we full grown or are we not? The answer is we're to be both of these things. We are to be mature and we are to be childlike. We are to advance in spiritual adulthood while staying childlike in heart and in mind. A gradual attainment that happens and we might not even recognize that it's happening. You look at the child as they grow and maybe they go from 3 foot four to 3 foot five. You probably won't know that. Until the shoes get too tight and the pants become high waters and the what ought to be at your wrist is pushing up towards your elbows, you probably won't recognize that these little bitty increments of growth. Well, it might be the same way in our spiritual realm. However small the increments are, they've got to be happening. And the beauty of God's Word is that, unlike in the flesh, where me and you finally hit on what the Word would be, we hit this max. You got to 5:11 and stopped. You got to 5:3 and stopped. With God's Word, there is no end to our growth so long as we're continuing to dig, continuing to work, continuing to study. And that's the beauty of it. And so all of us in here, I don't care how old we are, makes no difference how long we've been a Christian, this applies to all of us, because there is still maturing for each of us. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. We've talked about growth. We've got to make sure that whatever this growing up that we do is, it's in the Lord and not in worldly things. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace. How wonderful that is. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make sure we're growing in the right realms. Get your songbooks out. To become childlike, there has to first be a birth. We understand that. There has to be a birth. And Romans chapter 6 describes in incredibly clear parallel language what that birth is. A death into water. A rising up to newness of life. The man of sin dead, and there this newness of life that we now begin to walk in. If you're not a Christian, you need to be born today. Nicodemus was worried about, what do I go back into the womb? No. It's a birth of spirit. It's a birth out of water. And that can happen, and it can happen right now. And for those of us that are Christians, we got work to do. The most mature of us in here are probably childish in some ways, spiritually speaking. And we can all be a little bit more childlike in those incredible attributes Jesus was praising and commending as an imitation. So let's get busy with that. Let's turn and let's become what He wants us to be. If anybody needs prayers of the church, let's do it while we stand and sing.